The words of God given to us today are Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. The page number is 309 in the New Testament. It is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Allow me to read the words. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul's third missionary journey lasted about 4 years, three of which he spent in Ephesus. Therefore, many significant events, both large and small, took place in Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the most prominent cities in the Roman Empire at that time, and the best city in Asia Minor, which is now the region of Turkey. Economically, it was the most prosperous city. As a result, Ephesus was a place where all kinds of secular values prevailed. Hence, Ephesus was called the Vanity Fair of the ancient world. Among the many things Ephesus was proud of, the greatest was the Temple of Artemis. Although nothing remains of it today, this temple, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, was built in the 6th century before Christ and took 120 years to complete. Artemis, equivalent to Diana in Roman mythology, was the daughter of Zeus and the fraternal twin sister of Apollo. While Apollo was the sun god, Artemis was the moon goddess and the symbol of fertility and prosperity. There were over 3,000 priestesses working in the vast temple of Artemis, and the number of slaves working in the temple was incalculable. The temple and its surroundings were filled with criminals seeking immunity for their crimes and people selling and buying amulets inscribed with Ephesus letters. Thanks to the Temple of Artemis, Ephesus was always bustling with pilgrims from all over the Roman Empire. Moreover, at that time, Ephesus had a population of 250,000 people. Because the Temple of Artemis was the pride of Ephesus, making and selling silver models of the temple was a very important business. At that time, the following event occurred. Acts chapter 19, verse 23 to 27. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together, along with the workers in related trades, and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." To the people of Ephesus, Artemis was the supreme goddess, and her temple was their greatest pride. However, Paul publicly declared that gods made by human hands are not gods at all. This caused a significant uproar due to the way, that is, the gospel, he preached. One of the crucial businesses in Ephesus was the creation and sale of silver shrines of the Temple Artemis. These miniature temples were kept in homes for private worship and used to store sacred items. small virgins were worn as talismans. Hence, having these miniature temples was a common religious practice for the Ephesians, making the silver shrine business thrive year-round. When Paul said that gods made by human hands are not gods, and proclaimed that the true God and Savior was Jesus Christ, who came to earth in human form, shed his atoning blood on the cross, died, and was resurrected, it infuriated the makers of these shrines. Specifically, a man named Demetrius gathered the shrine makers and incited them. He argued that their prosperity came from this business and Paul's preaching, which they considered nonsense, threatened their livelihood. Even though the Temple of Artemis was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and the statue of Artemis with its 24 breasts symbolizing fertility and abundance was immense, these were nothing more than lifeless stone and metal. Paul pointed this out, and his truth pricked the conscience of Demetrius and the shrine makers. However, they did not surrender. Instead, Demetrius roused them by saying, "There is a danger that not only our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." The people responded by shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," and the whole city was thrown into chaos. In this city of greed, rampant idolatry, and overwhelming worldly values, Paul wrote a letter to the Christians of the Ephesian church. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. In Korea, the basic format for sending a letter starts with the recipient, followed by a greeting, the body, a closing remark, and then the date and sender. In contrast, in the times when the Bible was written, letters typically began with the sender and the recipient. This was followed by a brief greeting, an expression of gratitude towards the recipient, then the body of the letter. The letter concluded with personal news and greetings from the sender and the farewell. Thus, in this first verse, the sender and recipient are identified. When Paul sends this letter, he could simply write the sender as Paul and the recipients as to the saints in Ephesus, but he writes much more extensively. Paul describes himself, the sender, as Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In contrast, the apostle Peter begins his letter with Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and the apostle John starts with the elder, which literally translates to the elder. Paul was not welcomed as an apostle of Jesus, for he had not been a disciple of Jesus during Jesus' ministry. While Peter was recognized and could travel with his wife for evangelistic journey, Paul traveled alone, earning his and his colleagues' ministry expenses by making tents, yet still did not receive the same recognition. Even in the church of Galatia, where he founded, he was not welcomed. However, Paul was very aware of how he became an apostle of Christ Jesus. It was the Damascus event. He had no intention of becoming an apostle of Christ Jesus. In fact, he was filled with hostility, not goodwill, towards Jesus. The fact that he became an apostle of Christ Jesus could only be explained as the will of God. There was no other explanation. The will of God is not something that should be sought only in significant events or major decisions in life. It is also crucial in our daily lives. I often say this to couples about to get married. Do you know what will be the driving force for you two to build a healthy and happy family in the future? What do you think, dear church members? What do you think is the driving force for creating a healthy family and a happy family? Is it financial stability? While money can help to some extent, it cannot be the driving force behind a healthy and happy family. If money were the driving force, the families of the world's wealthiest people would be the healthiest and happiest. But often, the opposite seems to be true. Is it exceptional intelligence or professional knowledge or jobs? These may help to some degree, but they cannot be the driving force either. Is it love or emotions? These can be quite helpful, but they are not the decisive driving force. Humans are highly rational beings, but they are also emotional. This means that our thoughts can change several times a day, and our emotions can swing wildly. The driving force for building a healthy and happy family is the belief that God is involved in and has guided our marriage. When there is deep trust in this, even when life seems to force you to take detours, when you have to go through what feels like an endless tunnel, or when storms are raging in life, you can trust that God has brought us together as spouses to navigate these challenges together. Through this process, the family becomes healthier, learns to be grateful for small things, and finds happiness. Even when life is smooth sailing and things are going according to plan, recognizing it as the result of God's involvement and guidance helps the family become healthier and see happiness bloom. The driving force that enables us to fulfill our roles diligently, no matter what we do, is the belief that God has led me here and to this point. The Apostle Paul, despite not being welcomed as an apostle and experiencing multiple beatings, as well as facing numerous dangers from both nature and people, found strength in the fact that he was Paul an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Additionally, Paul addresses the recipients of his letters to the Ephesian church in two ways. Firstly, he calls them saints in Ephesus. The term saints literally means holy ones. In church settings, when referring to the congregants without specific titles such as elders, deacons, ministers, stewards, or wardens, believers are often called saints. It's also a generic term used to refer to Christians as a whole. However, saints is plural, and its singular form is saint. If someone were to address each of us Saint 정한조, it might not evoke any particular feeling. However, if someone were to say Saint 정한조, 성자 정한조, you might feel a chill down your spine. In Catholicism, during baptism, individuals are given a new name after a saint. While we might not agree with this doctrine of adopting a new name, each of us must recognize that we are saints. The most important meaning of holiness in the Bible is set apart. However, this distinction is not for the sake of completeness, but for belonging to God. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. The children of Israel and we have been chosen and set apart by God. This enables us to live as conduits of God in the world. Moreover, we have become citizens of the kingdom of God. As previously mentioned, Ephesus was the greatest marketplace in Asia at the time, where nothing was lacking. It was called the marketplace of vanity because one could indulge in every luxury and display every vanity. It was also a city full of idol worship, represented by the Temple of Artemis. Even though the people of the Ephesian church lived in such a materialistic and idol-worshipping city, Paul's message to them was, "Do not forget that you are set apart, that you are saints." In today's society, where the name of Jesus Christ is not held in high regard and the church often fails to live up to its calling, the primary reason Christians do not distinctly show their faith is that we, the saints, have not lived set-apart lives. The pressing task for the church today is the restoration of holiness and the restoration of being set apart. The life of the church depends on holiness and the strength of Christians from being set apart. Secondly, Paul calls the people of Ephesian church the faithful in Christ Jesus. He does not simply call them faithful, but the faithful in Christ Jesus. The people of the Ephesian church could be faithful because they were in Christ Jesus. This means that one cannot be truly faithful outside of Christ. When they were not Christians, they were outside of Christ Jesus, living according to their ambitions and desires, heading towards the grave as those in Adam. We were the same before becoming Christians. We were outside of Christ Jesus, in Adam, thinking that what we could see was everything, and that wisdom was about grabbing and enjoying more. Additionally, the phrase, the faithful in Christ Jesus, carries a deeper meaning. Those in Christ Jesus are called to live faithful lives. Living faithfully has two meanings. First, it means living by faith. After Jesus' resurrection, he visited the place where the disciples were staying that evening. For some reason, Thomas was not there. When the other disciple told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord," he refused to believe it. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." In modern terms, Thomas' statement is similar to saying, "I'd rather bet my life than believe Jesus has risen." 8 days later, Jesus appeared again at the same place, and this time Thomas was there. Jesus did not say to Thomas, "Let's have a meal after you bet your life." Instead, he said, John chapter 20, verse 27. "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." The terms believer and faithful are the same word. To live faithfully in Christ Jesus means to live according to faith. Living by faith involves following the Lord's will and obeying His word. Without making the Lord our purpose and obeying His word, we cannot live a faithful life. Otherwise, we will live with the world's purpose and according to worldly values. Secondly, the faithful in Christ Jesus and living faithfully means living loyally. Jesus said this to the church in Smyrna, one of the seven churches in Asia Minor. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and that will give you life as your victor's crown." The words faithful and loyal are the same word. The church in Smyrna, along with the church in Philadelphia, received only praise and no rebuke from the Lord. The Smyrna church faced severe trials. During that time, all Roman citizens were required once a year to go to Caesar's altar, burn incense, kneel, and declare, "Caesar is Lord." The certificate received afterward was like an ID or a qualification allowing them to practice their faith and participate in society freely. However, Christians in Smyrna did not have this certificate. They could not possess it. Consequently, they had to live extremely impoverished lives. Despite this, Jesus said to the church of Smyrna, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer." He promised to give them the crown of life if they remained faithful until death. The crown, Stephanos, referred to here is a laurel wreath given to victors in athletic competitions, to the most important guests at banquets, and the loyal subjects in the region of Smyrna. It is said that coins from Smyrna depicted great officials wearing such crowns. Though the world may regard them as insignificant and scorn them, the Lord promises to regard them as a crown. The Chinese character for loyalty, 충성, can be broken down to mean fulfilling words with a sincere heart. This indicates that living a loyal life is impossible without the Lord's word. If we wholeheartedly keep the Lord's word, His word will make us faithful people. Therefore, the meaning of verse 1 can be interpreted as follows. To the saints in Ephesus, the people of Ephesus are in Ephesus, and they are so proud to be citizens of Ephesus, a city counted among the finest in the Roman Empire, the greatest in Asia Minor, and home to the magnificent temple of Artemis. They believed that living according to the values of Ephesus is the best and wisest way to live. But do not forget that you are in Christ Jesus. You can only be faithful people in Christ Jesus. To you who live as saints in Ephesus, I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, send this letter. Most of our church members live in Seoul and the metropolitan area, which is not only one of the largest cities in the world, but also the heart of Korea. Seoul and its surrounding areas are the epicenter of Korea's politics, economy, administration, judiciary, diplomacy, education, culture, and arts. People here struggle and use every means possible to survive. To us, God sends this letter through the Apostle Paul, reminding us that we are not in the values of Seoul, the metropolitan area, or Korea, but in Christ Jesus. As those called to be saints, we have an obligation to live as faithful people in Christ Jesus wherever we are. Even though the name of the Lord has never been more disrespected, and the Korean church is seen as neither the salt nor the light of the world, and even though it pains me deeply that Christians cannot confidently declare their faith, I trust that our 100th anniversary Memorial Church members will live as saints, faithful people in Christ, wherever God has placed us. I believe that you will wholeheartedly practice making worship a part of your daily life and making your daily life an act of worship, serving others from the bottom of your hearts with gratitude and joy, and living in obedience to the Word. To cultivate such a life as a spiritual habit, I trust that you will always live with your windows open towards God, and even more so, live a life that is open to God. Whether you're running large or small businesses, working as employees or public servants, managing your households, or studying in schools, wherever you are, if we all live not by the secular values of Seoul or the metropolitan area or Korea, but as distinguished saints, faithful in Christ Jesus, wouldn't the Lord use us as channels to cleanse and illuminate the Korean church and our society? Wherever you are right now, will you live as a faithful person in Christ Jesus in that place? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, 2,000 years ago, the people of Ephesus took great pride in living in what was considered the greatest and largest city, home to the magnificent temple of Artemis. They were also proud of their city being recognized by the Roman Empire. But none of us remember them today. They vanished along with the Roman Empire. However, the Apostle Paul, who became an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, knew well. He lived not in the values of Ephesus, but in the eternal Christ Jesus. Likewise, in 100 or 200 years, most of us will be forgotten by our descendants, who may not even know that we once lived on this earth. But when we are in the eternal Lord, Christ Jesus, who will take care of us even after our death, we will be remembered forever by the Lord. We are finite beings, not knowing how long each of us will live on this earth, but help us to live in Christ Jesus. Even if no one recognizes us, help us to live faithfully as distinguished people in Christ Jesus in the place where God has placed us. Prove through our lives that the most valuable life is living faithfully in Christ Jesus, and through us, renew the Korean church and our society. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.